It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
6:40. This is the part of the show where we try to teach you a little bit about business by learning through osmosis. And that is from somebody that's getting it done, a CEO that's getting it done, sponsored by Signature Bank.
That's right, a CCO in this case. Jason Erkes is here. He is the Chief Communications Officer for Cresco Labs. And you may have seen Cresco in the news recently. They're really at the forefront of there was a new law that changed when it came to medical marijuana at the end of last year. This was actually enacted by Governor Rauner's administration that would look at medical marijuana to replace opioids when it comes to pain relief and for prescriptions. And Cresco's at the forefront of making that happen. And Jason's in studio. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So this is, I mean, this really is off of the legislation. From a business standpoint, when a government makes a change or passes a law, and business comes out of that, how fast do you have to mobilize to make that happen?
Pretty fast. I mean, luckily, the program was already in place. You know, there were already medical marijuana dispensaries and cultivators in the state. And what this new law did was really open up access to people. People that would be prescribed an opioid for any condition, people that had opioid addiction, it gave them the alternative of using medical cannabis instead. So it really just opened up access to people that are in pain, people that have addiction problems, from grandmothers that might have surgery that don't want an opioid with an awful side effect, to construction workers or athletes that were suffering from a work condition. You can now get it and use it as an alternative to opioids.
How important is it? And I know this is kind of a callous question, but how important to the business of medical cannabis has been the disintegration of opioids? I mean, the idea of addictions and finding out more and more about that pain medication and how it's bad for us. And, you know, it's really has been a scourge on America. How important has it been for the growth of medical cannabis?
I think it's been critical. I mean, as I travel around the country and go market to market, that's the number one issue you hear people talk about. Everyone is one degree away separated from someone that has some kind of opioid issue, whether it's an addiction problem, whether it's something that, you know, they're on it and the side effects are awful, it's destroying their quality of life. So cannabis is really looked at as an alternative that's non-addictive, an alternative that, you know, you don't have those awful side effects that are really taken away from living a quality every day.
Are these edibles, oils, how are they administered?
Everything. You know, we have, believe it or not, we have close to 500 different products that we make. I mean, we make pills and patches and oils. People think that...
Can you combine them with Pringles to take care of the after?
You know, people think that using cannabis is really just firing up a joint like it was in the old days.
But I think that's a block for people, because there's a generational block to the idea of marijuana. So if it could be administered more as a drug, people are more likely to use it, right?
You can get cannabis in the same way you get every other medicine. When you walk down the aisle at Walgreens or CVS and you see cold medicine and flu medicine and headache medicine, whether it's a pill, a patch, a gummy, you know, something that you can vape, a tincture, a lotion, an oil, it comes in every form you can imagine.
What determines what I get?
You do. You're the consumer. So, you know.
So it's not medically dependent on what the condition is?
Right. All a doctor's doing in the state of Illinois, whether you have one of the debilitating conditions or whether you're getting it for under the opioid program, is they're just saying that you can use cannabis for whatever condition you have. When you go into a dispensary, you're sitting down with a patient care person that's really talking about what your condition is, what strain might help you, and then what means of absorbing or consuming it you know, would help with your condition.
What pain management doesn't apply? Like, if I have a headache, I'm not going to get be able to get a prescription.
Under this new law, anything that you would be prescribed an opioid for, you can get cannabis an alternative. You have to ask your doctor. Your doctor has to go online to the Department of Health and do a quick registration, and then they're able to give you a recommendation online. And another point to make is, for a long time, the program in Illinois was taking you 3 months to get a card.
Right.
Can you imagine going to your doctor, getting a prescription, and then being told, yeah, you can get your medicine in 3 months,
I feel
right?
bad. Can I have the medicine 3 months from now?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now they've really changed the program and made it in a way where you can get your card the same day. You're going online, you're getting an email to your phone the same way you would a concert ticket, and you're walking into that dispensary, showing your phone, and you get immediate access to medicine.
It seems this has been a boon. It's a gold rush for medical cannabis all around the country, and not just medical. You know, there's going to be other states, including Illinois, that are looking at legalizing marijuana.
Sure.
But it seems like when you're in business, and it is a gold rush, it's so dependent on government. It's so dependent on the politics of this, because you could just the wind blows one way and then marijuana is bad. You know, and you've seen this over time in the last couple decades. How do you, from a business standpoint, project and predict the future of politics when it comes to the product you're trying to sell?
I mean, it's hard. It's a challenge. But you know, you look at it and you have to forecast what the regulation is going to be. We're fortunate right now in Illinois. We've got a governor that supports it. We have a speaker of the House with a supermajority, nonetheless, that supports it. And we just got two mayoral candidates for Chicago, the biggest city in the state, that support it. So things are looking positive in Illinois. But with all this talk about adult use legalization, no one really knows what the law is going to look like. And how it's going to affect the businesses that are in the industry today. So, you know, it's something we're involved in. We have a seat at the table. We're participating in the conversation, and you know, hope that things are good in the future.
For people who want to invest, with everybody and their brother getting in and trying to get an IPO set up as fast as possible, how do we know which company to invest with other than yours?
Well, as a publicly traded company, I don't think I'm allowed to give investment advice. But
in the big picture, you can say we're doing a nice job. And
yeah, so. You know, what you want to look at are the companies that are establishing a national footprint, these multi-state operators that have roots that go beyond one state, beyond one market, you know, that are, you know, there's companies that are involved in the production of products, and there's companies that own the retail stores. You know, there's the Advil, and then there's the Walgreens.
Right.
So you want to look at companies that are involved in an aspect of the business that's attractive to you, that you think has longevity.
Snapper?
Is there a difference between how you get ready, like for if they legalize marijuana in Illinois, does the dispensary experience change at all based on you have patient consultants for the people that are there for medical reasons, and then you have people walking in the door that are there for recreational reasons, like... How does that experience change your business model?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not totally sure. I mean, we don't know what the regulation and what the legislation is going to be. There's a lot of bills being tossed around. But what it looks like now is that Illinois will have both an adult use program, a recreational program, and a medical program. And the benefit of that is the people that have that medical card will pay less from a tax standpoint. That's a big challenge that a lot of states face is they pass a recreational bill and everybody wants a piece of the pie. You've got a city tax, a state tax, a county tax that are all added on. So... you know, with and that tax could be, you know, 20% or 30%. Where if you have that medical program, you'll get taxed lower and be able to get your medicine less expensive. So, you know, it appears that the discussion is going in a way where each dispensary will be both. So the existing dispensaries right now that are medical dispensaries will convert and be adult use and medical, where you'll have to show that ID and kind of qualify yourself as what type of consumer you are when you walk in the door. But, you know, right now, cannabis is unknown. As Steve was saying, people don't know about all the different products. So you're sitting down with a patient care specialist and really learning and understanding. A big part of this is education.
A friend of mine, Tina Svandela, she's the political reporter at the Sun-Times, and she wrote an op-ed this week about her mom and her opioid addiction and the challenges they had with getting a medical marijuana card because the doctor never sent in the approval for it. How much, because you need the doctors to sign off on this for you to get your clients. Do you have liaisons trying to help doctors come on board? Where's that at?
Yeah, from a regulatory standpoint, we're not really allowed to help patients through the process here in the state, but you know, we certainly answer questions and want to guide people through the process. You know, there's certain doctors that support it and certain doctors that don't. I mean, a simple Google search will tell you who's who.
Jason, I think that there's from a marketing standpoint, from a communication standpoint, when you're talking about business like this, there's a thought in people's heads about dispensaries. They think of head shops. They think in, you know, the old style, oh, you walk into and this is where I buy my bong and maybe they'll have weed in there as well, right?
But this Dead music playing when you walk in.
But this is such a different experience.
It's such a different experience, and you've grown. There are 500 employees in the last year.
Yeah.
I've been added to Cresco. This is not a mom and pop business.
Not at all. I mean, this is a major industry. It's one of the fastest growing industries. No pun intended, if there's a drum shot.
We don't do puns. You're fine.
But, you know, it's not the experience people see in pictures on the news. And, you know, we're working very hard. Cresco's working very hard to change that. We want to normalize and professionalize the industry. It frustrates me when I see the TV news stations doing a story and they're using video of a bud tender sticking his hand into a glass jar and pulling out a bud and letting someone smell it before you buy it.
Dude.
That's not the way it works these days. Everything is prepackaged, tested, weighed, consistent, dosed. It's literally like walking down the drugstore aisle at Walgreens.
And is Canada having any influence?
It's a positive influence, because what you're seeing is that legalized it in Canada, and there's no negative impact. I mean, it's a very positive thing.
But the point being, order prescription drugs from Canada. That's a huge market. You can't legally do that with marijuana.
You can't legally get marijuana from Michigan. You can't cross state lines, let alone country lines. So that's the other unique thing about the industry is it's siloed at every state. What's that?
There's a protection for Cresco and companies in this country.
Yeah, for every company, state by state, you have that regulated license, which is fairly highly coveted, and you're manufacturing, producing, and selling and consuming in that state. In every state that we're in seven states now, so it's you can't cross state lines with it. So if you're in that state, it all stays in that state. We can't make something and ship it to.
You also have to follow the rules of that state. So Maryland's going to be different than Illinois and Wisconsin, whatever it might be down the line.
Following the regulatory processes in each state is quite cumbersome. It's different. Every market that we're in, we have different rules to follow.
That's weird. If you think about it from a business standpoint, especially in America. There's not a lot of industries like that where each state has a different set of rules for you to be able to do business there.
Yeah. How we communicate to patients or customers, how our packages are labeled, is different in every market that we're in.
I would think on some level, cost can be really prohibitive, right? You got to be very careful because of all the rules you have to follow.
Yeah, that, and you have to replicate your business in every market. So you have a business in Illinois, and you have a team, and you're manufacturing, you're processing, your distribution, your dispensaries, then you have to take that and replicate that exact same process in another state and in another state and in another state. And, you know, a big part of normalizing and professionalizing the industry is making sure that cannabis product the consumer gets is the same. We want to make sure that it's the same dose and that it tastes the same and that it has the same effect the same way you would a regular consumer package good. If you're buying a Snickers, if you're buying Advil, if you're drinking a Bud Light, it's the same wherever you buy it in the country. And that's a big part of our mission, is to make sure that our products in every dispensary across the country are exactly the same.
We're way out of time here, but a couple of quick questions from the audience. Would you ask, cannabis is not FDA registered or approved, how do you know it's safe, and you guys are taking care of that end of it?
Yeah, and the states are taking care of that. I mean, we're very highly regulated. All the products are tested for pesticides. They're tested for purity and for potency. So the consumer these days, you know exactly what you're getting when you buy it.
And as a publicly traded company, you're held to a higher standard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Another one from the 630. Is cannabis absorbed into your system? And if I get stopped by police and they test me, could I get a DUI? Why?
That's a great question. It is
meeting,
in your system, but it's not a DUI.
Work, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a DUI. There aren't a lot of laws that support that right now, but I would imagine that'll change
just
in some capacity.
Just like you shouldn't drive if you take, a Dramamine or something, probably it's similar.
Yeah. And that one question I brought in, last one here, is just about insurance companies. At a certain point, does medical cannabis get covered by, will insurance companies get on board?
I think if it becomes legal nationally from a medical standpoint, I think they'll have to. Right now, being that it's state by state, they don't. But that's a big thing. They'll pay for the opioids, they'll pay for the other drugs, but they won't pay for this.
And is legalized marijuana bad for the medical marijuana business?
No, it's great. Listen, we support opening up access and for people having access to this plant and all the fantastic things it can do. So, we definitely support it.
Sore knees? Does it work for sore knees? Not asking for me. It works for all levels of pain that are opioid dependent, yes?
I'm not a doctor, but there's a lot of reports that say it helps with pain, it helps with nausea, it helps with side effects from other medications, so yeah.
All right. Nice to see you.
Jason Urquhart is the Chief Communication Officer for Cresco Labs, and he's our guest today on Download Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Jason, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.